The Scrabble Go Guide to Learning New Words. Quizzical, your dad's face when he hasn't got enough vowels. Skeptical, your mom's face when you try to say small is a word. Belligerent, how your brother feels when he doesn't win. Vocabulary, what you all build when you play Scrabble Go together. Everyone's a winner with Scrabble Go, the fun brain training game you can play with family and friends wherever you are. Available on Android and iOS. Download Scrabble Go today.
Meal prepping and cooking were unfortunately two traits that did not get passed through my Sri Lankan DNA. But to help me out, I've got Krissa Benson on the line for this Five Step Friday. She's going to teach me and us five steps to hacking your kitchen. Good morning, Krissa. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
I have to say, on behalf of my family, and I'm going back to Australia for Christmas, there's going to be a big Sri Lankan / Australian Christmas. My goal is to take a dish that is not specifically Sri Lankan, but, you know, can say, oh, you know, Virginia can cook now. So I really need your help on this. What are five steps that I can do to hack my kitchen? And what are five steps that Ginny Show listeners can do to hack the kitchen? Where would you start?
Let's start with meal prep, because that's one of the big ones that I think a lot of people struggle with, especially if you're a busy parent or just a busy working person. It's hard to find the time to meal prep. And so the first hack that I have is to take 10 to 15 minutes tops every night to think about what you're going to make the next day and prep just a few little elements. So sometimes I will arrange dried herbs and spices if I'm going to throw it into a dish. Maybe I'll pre-chop some vegetables. Maybe I will roast a couple of sweet potatoes. Just, it doesn't have to take a long time. Just simple little elements, breaking it down into 10-minute increments. You do it after you get the kids down, you go to bed, and the next day you're so glad you did something to set yourself up for success.
Meal prep is one of those things people tend to cringe at, because I guess with social media and Instagram, you see a lot of bodybuilders and lots of people in the fitness industry do meal prep, and it looks absolutely epic. Does it have to be to that epic proportion?
I am so against that type of meal prepping, because I don't have time on a weekend to spend 2 hours in the kitchen batch cooking and making everything into pretty little containers and taking pictures of it. I just try to get it done in the most simplistic way I can. And so for me, a meal prep is just, like I said, simple things. Think of one or two steps you need to do for the day's meal ahead and execute them the night before. It doesn't have to be complicated.
Okay, so step one is meal prepping. What's the next step that we can do to hack our kitchen?
The next step is to, this is going to be a little bit controversial, but utilize the microwave that you have, if you have a microwave.
Ooh, is it controversial because it's not promoting this, I guess, premise of freshness?
I think so. I think people have, you know, there are conflicting studies of, if you microwave your food, are you depleting the nutrients? And some say yes, and some say absolutely not. And so there is, you know, we have pro microwavers and people who are completely against it. I am pro because I'm busy and microwave saves my booty sometimes. So I really take the microwave and I use it as my little kitchen hack. So when I need to make a quick meal, I can throw a sweet potato in the microwave. I just spear it a few times with a knife, throw it in the microwave for 7 minutes. I have a beautiful mashed sweet potato. I will throw a mug of hot water in a mug and put frozen peas or fresh broccoli in there and just zap it for 45 seconds and it's ready to go for my kids. Sometimes it's better to use the microwave than not even have vegetables at all. So I am all for using that thing.
Great. Well, step one is meal prep. Step two is use your microwave. A little bit controversial, but I can totally see how that helps. And also, a lot of people who work 9 to 5 and go to their corporate jobs, in their office, they use a microwave to reheat food. So what would be the next step, Krissa?
I'm glad you talked about reheating, because the next step kind of ties into that a little bit. So I, on the side of my fridge, have an inventory list of what all the fresh produce in my refrigerator and any frozen things that I have in my freezer, because I never, ever want to waste food. So when I make something, I actually know what I have in my freezer, what I have in my refrigerator. And so I can always add elements if I have produce that's going bad and throw it into the dish. And so even if it's you're cooking a little bit more than you need. Again, you can use those leftovers for the next day. But having kind of cognizant of what you already have on hand can really save you a ton of money, which everyone wants to do. I mean, buying fresh food and making sure you're eating healthy, it can be expensive. And so really making sure you know what you have and checking those off the list every time you take something out so that if you see a sale on meat or produce, you can stock up. It's really been the key to staying on budget as a family for us.
It's interesting that you say that, because that's, I have to say, one of the things when I attempt to cook, and not all of these attempts have been successful, one of the things that I find is that, you know, I buy groceries and they're in my fridge and I forget that they're there. And obviously over time you realize, oh, I already had tomatoes. I've just bought another batch. Do you have any tips, or I guess this is like a 3.1 in terms of the five steps to hacking your kitchen, Krista, but do you have another tip where how you can manage that? Do you keep a list? Is there some form of app or resource that you could recommend?
I do. I mean, I'm kind of old school where I just write on my magnetic refrigerator. I need That's to see handy. It. I'm a list girl. So I have my magnetic board. I put whatever I bought for groceries. I have, when I do big grocery hauls, I will write down, I have tomatoes, I have peppers, I have carrots. And so that I can always see it every time I open up that fridge, what I have. And when you do that, you're more cognizant of taking that out and using it. Even in meals that may not even call for peppers, if I know I have something in there and it's been in there for a week, I'll dice them up and throw it in there, whether it's an egg dish or a casserole or what, even like spaghetti. When you have it right in front of you, it's easy to not miss it and to not waste food.
On that, Krista, I know some of my friends and even myself, we like to plan our meals out for the week. Sometimes I'm not successful, but some of my friends, they kind of sit there with their partners and they go, okay, Monday, we're going to have this for dinner. That'll be leftovers and lunch for Tuesday. They plan out daily what their meals are going to be. Is that something that you recommend, or is there something else that you could kind of suggest to be spontaneous or a little bit more prepared in that way? I'm not sure that's the best word to question, but I think you get my drift.
Yeah, I do. I think there's a good combo there is what I do. So I actually do a lot of meal. I have a lot of meal planning products on my website because I like to show people that it is great. You should plan ahead to some extent. So I always try to make a meal. Maybe I'll double it for leftovers later in the week. And then I have a plan for maybe the next 3 days. And then maybe Friday or Saturday is like a who knows day. And that's really key for looking what is in your refrigerator and throwing it into a dish or like a hash with ground turkey. So that promotes not wasting food, that promotes spontaneity, and it promotes you experimenting in the kitchen and getting more comfortable cooking meals and throwing them together. And the more you do that, the more you'll just become better and better at it.
I've been watching the Great British Baking Show, and I see all the amazing sculptures and showstoppers of you know, food. Obviously, I'm not pertaining to baking in this conversation, but some of that tends to be intimidating. And I guess, again, on social media, when you see these epically, beautifully designed meals and your meal doesn't look that appetizing, how do you coach people through that, Krista?
Yeah, I think we all really need to be cognizant that Instagram is a very curated platform. And so even as a food blogger, my Instagram account, when I take photos of my recipes, they are staged to the max. And when I make them at home, when I'm not using photography or I don't care what they look like dog food. And that's okay. Because as long as it tastes good, it shouldn't really matter. So I wouldn't be so focused on the presentation of the food as just putting things together that taste great that your family will eat. And I'm gonna kind of skip to the next point because this just goes into it beautifully. The whole throwing together meals, and oftentimes that doesn't look pretty or staged. But what I love to do is think of throw together meals. I call them as like three elements. So you have a base, which I like to think of as some sort of vegetable, or if you do grains, you could do grains like rice, but I will do a big batch of sauteed kale with like olive oil and lemon juice, or another base would be shredding up Brussels sprouts, throwing them in the pan, sauteing them until they're soft. You could do rice or quinoa or whatever, but you have a base. From there, you build your protein. So maybe that's shredded chicken that's leftover. Maybe that's you want to ground a pound of turkey or beef or whatever. So you have some sort of protein. And then on the top can be whatever floats your fancy. I like to do healthy fat in my meals. So maybe that's avocado, maybe that's diced olives, maybe it's more vegetables on top. And so what you end up doing is these three simple things. You think of a base, a protein, and a healthy fat, and then throwing together maybe whatever leftovers you have in the refrigerator that you want to use. You have meals that come together so quickly, and then you can just add whatever herbs and spices you want. And this is such an art that just people don't realize they can do in such a simplistic way. So I love doing that. And it doesn't matter if it doesn't look pretty. It really doesn't.
Fantastic. And I guess what is the last step, Krissa, to five steps to hacking your kitchen?
The last step is to really focus on dips or condiments that you can add to any meal. I really love to make my own, and it's a lot easier than you think. So I will make homemade pesto, and we do dairy-free in our house, so I won't use Parmesan, but it's just pine nuts, olive oil, a little lime juice, garlic, basil. You put it in a food processor, and I will put it in a big mason jar, and you can freeze a lot of condiments, whether it's pesto, maybe you make your own salsa, maybe you do your own mayonnaise or ranch. And what you can do then is anytime you're in a bind for meal, you can throw something, a protein on the grill, or make those throw together meals and then drizzle them with whatever sauce or condiment that you've already pre-made. And this is so great for like those boring meals that get so repetitious. Kids love dips and condiments because it's more finger food. They can dip things in. My kids certainly do. So that's another really great hack, is to think, what kind of sauce can I make? What kind of dip can I make? And make it, throw it in the freezer, use that freezer. And then anytime you're in a rut, just take it out, thaw it, and you are good to go for mealtime.
I'm curious too, Krissa, obviously you've got an awesome website where you talk about how you can hack your kitchen in a much more broader sense. But what are some of the ways, or in your experience, what are some of the things that you've found people to have as obstacles to doing this for themselves? I know time is a big one, and also time can lead to the excuse of, I don't have time, so I buy this. What else have you heard from clients or people, the feedback that you've gotten back as an obstacle to doing this?
Time, of course, is the number one. We're all busy. I think the second one is because I serve pretty much my demographic are busy moms. They are nervous because they have a very picky partner, or they have very picky children, and they don't want to make a meal and then their family goes, no, thank you. But I really encourage moms to just keep at it. Just keep trying. Sometimes it takes kids 12 to 15 introductions on a certain food for them to try it and actually like it. And so I think there can be some bumps in the road when you're trying to transition your family into eating real food and getting off the processed stuff or the frozen pre-made things. But if you stick to it and you stay consistent, it only takes a few months, and pretty soon you're all on the same page. You all feel better. You have more energy. You have more confidence in the kitchen. So there might be a few bumps in the road, but I think that shouldn't deter people from trying to eat a better way.
One of the things I've noticed too, Krissa, is that I've been speaking to different people from different health backgrounds and different entrepreneurial careers, especially about in the health industry. And one thing that's come up is nutrients, how the food that is made now lacks the amount and content of nutrients that, you know, our grandparents have. So I believe the stat that was thrown at me, I'm not sure how true this is, but it takes, you have to eat about roughly 30 bowls of spinach now to get the content of nutrients that your grandmother got. So obviously when it comes to meal prep, the food that you cook at home and you prep at home would be more nutrient dense than what you would buy out. Would you agree?
I totally agree. And you know how it's being processed. You know what kind of high quality oils you might use to saute something at home. You know what's going into your food. And so it's really important to really get comfortable to do that. And plus, it saves money. Let's just face it. It's expensive to go to eat. It's expensive to buy prepackaged things that you could easily make at home. And again, if you just take that 10 to 15 minutes in the evening to do so, you're going to set yourself up for success in a way you never thought possible.
What made you be on the path that you're on today? What inspired you to be where you are today?
Gosh, there's so many different facets. Really, when I got married and became a mom, it became really important for me to fuel my family in a nutritious way and feed my, I have two little boys now, but feed my sons the most nutrient dense foods that I could. And so that was a really big priority to me, is to stay healthy. We rarely get sick because I'm feeding myself and my husband and my kids good food every day. And I think it's really important for behavior. I think it's important for immunity. So that was one element that really got me interested in cooking in a really healthy way. The other part of it, and how my business kind of shifted, my husband is actually currently still deployed. He's in Afghanistan. He's in the military. And so he's been gone for a year. And so I have my business. I have a 2 and 4 year old. And so making it like so easy is such a passion of mine, because I get it. I get how limited it can be. And I really want to make it a mission to tell people that it doesn't have to be complicated or time consuming. So that's what I'm trying to get across, is that healthy can be easy, and it should be, because that's what makes it attainable for everyone.
Fantastic. Well, Krissa Benson, thank you so much for joining me on this 5-Step Friday on 5 Steps to Hacking Your Kitchen. I guess the last question I'm going to ask you is, are you free in December, and would you like to come to Australia and cook a meal for my family, which I can masquerade as Ginny's famous dish?
I am so in. Do you know how mad I need a vacation? I need a vacation so bad. Yes, I'm in. Yes.
Well, you can come to the Christmas party too. I'll just say, this is my friend Krissa from America. I made a dish which I heavily contributed to.
Yeah, even if you just stand in the kitchen while I do it, that's fine by me. I will gladly come.
Fantastic. Well, Krissa, thank you so much for your time. We'll have to have you back on, maybe for a Monday mock-up.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Thanks for having me. It's time to party with Genie Show.